There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's playoff football, right? And it's cold outside, you know, the weather and the field sometimes aren't on just great terms with the footing, and you need to be able to be a physical football team and be able to establish the line of scrimmage. And I'm fortunate for the offensive line that we have, that, you know, the trust that I have in them and our backs understanding, and it always points to the offensive line, but the wide receivers and the tight ends that we have in the run game that are doing all the unselfish work, and it's critical. And again, whether it works or not, it's the confidence and the trust in them that they're out there doing it and they're feeling it and they're understanding how the blocks are approaching it. And that communication, that trust in them. Like, we've gotten to this point because of our guys and the trust that we have in them, and that can't change.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady on the offensive philosophy. It'll be Bills and Chiefs, of course, a much different animal than Bills Ravens, and we'll talk about it with Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, as we count down the days to Chiefs week. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, good to have you. I listened to your All-22 review. I think for those of you out there that watched the game, Joe, it was fun listening to your immediate reaction and then going back and watch the film, because I think you maybe could help people get through. It felt like they were conservative at the end of the game in the second half, but in reality, it comes down to maybe some execution that needed to be better. It was not as if they went into some sort of crazy shell against Baltimore. It's just, you know, you have to get the results, not just, you know, game plan to be a little aggressive.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good way to sum it up, some of my live reactions compared to what the film study revealed. And, you know, you're watching that game live. It's the third quarter. The Bills have this great opportunity to double dip and go up 28-10 there in that opening drive. And, of course, they go three and out, and then they go four and out on the next drive. They get like 18 yards on two drives. And you have this real opportunity to extend the lead, and you're listening to Tony Romo talk about how they got to let Josh Allen make these plays. And well, then you go back to the tape and you get the clarity that you're looking for. And I think it just came down to two massive execution errors. One would be on that first drive that Josh Allen has Dalton Kincaid on a outbreaking pattern. And, you know, it's a low throw that you'd love for Dalton to be able to dig out. You'd love for Josh Allen to get that ball up a little bit more. You connect there. It's a nice play. You extend the drive, and you know, who knows what happens with the rest of that drive. Then you get to the next one. It's third and five. The screenplay to Dawson Knox that has people all fired up. Well, first of all, Josh Allen checked into that play. He wanted that, and it's a good look. It was a great look for the play. I completely understand why Josh made that choice. And I think you had two problems there. Dawson catches the ball, and he needed to take an outside path and where his blocks were. Instead, he goes inside where he didn't have blocks, and then you know, Kyle Van Noy was kind of unaccounted for, and he winds up making the tackle. So it's just a couple of execution errors, but you have two great chances at first downs. And if you extend those drives, who knows what happens with a fresh set of downs. It wasn't a situation where the Bills said, you know what, we'd love for this game to be close. Let's get Baltimore back into this thing. They made a couple of execution errors, and, you know, Baltimore was able to carve away at that lead. I mean, the Ravens didn't punt. They either turned the ball over or they scored. And so the Bills tried to compress that game with a lead, and, you know, they had a couple of execution errors that made it a little bit complicated.
How much, Joe, do you buy the idea? There's like that triangle of who was a good matchup for who. How much do you buy the idea that the Ravens are a tougher matchup for the Bills than the Chiefs? And, like, there should be a little bit more celebration, just not in that they won, but it doesn't matter how they won. It's they beat their tougher matchup. I know we don't want to say that, like, going into a game that's more important, yeah. But do you buy that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be concerned about with the Chiefs. I mean, they're such a battle-tested team that have won this game, you know, over the last 2 years, three of the last five. I mean, they hosted six of the last 7 years. This is a very familiar stage. It's Patrick Mahomes. There's a lot to be concerned about. But if you just go matchup-wise, Baltimore's a bigger problem. I mean, the narratives that fueled the Bills, like, it's great that they fueled them, but they existed for a reason. The Bills did have to structurally change the way that they play defense. And they did need to have a level of variance to be able to win that game. They needed every one of those Baltimore mistakes to be able to get out of that thing with a win. So, yeah, there's no shame in admitting it's a tough matchup, and the Bills were able to not make the same crippling mistakes that Baltimore did and got out of there with a win. And I think any run that a team's ever went on, there's going to be a moment like that where, hey, something goes your way, and it finally happened for the Bills. And obviously there's a lot more to do, but – yeah, I think that was the embodiment of survive and advance. And, you know, in the playoffs, it really doesn't matter. There's no style points. You either win or you lose. Your season continues or it doesn't, and the Bills found a way to get out of that game with a win.
How much do you think the Bills should get credit for forcing Baltimore into those mistakes? Maybe not even on the individual plays, although you could do that too. But, like, first half especially, Joe, like, they kept Henry in check. Like, the yardage, he had most of his yardage on that one drive in the third quarter. So they came out physical to stop Henry, and I don't know, like, it felt like their game plan was, I don't even know if this is, debatable, their game plan was, we're going to stop Henry and keep Jackson in the pocket and pray that he's going to make a couple mistakes.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that, and you could look at least two of those plays and feel like they're unforced errors, whether that's the Lamar interception or his fumble, and the drop, right, by Andrews. Like, they feel like unforced errors, but I think that they're symptoms of the way that the Bills played the game defensively, where it was, hey, we're going to take away Derrick Henry. And that invited throws, right? Like, the Bills were very intentional. They wanted to hit him in the backfield and slow his feet and, you know, rally and get population to football and make tackles. And because they did that, Derrick Henry had only 16 rushes. He should have had 30. I mean, that was an absolute gift for the Buffalo Bills. And when they did rely on Henry at times, like, you felt that dominating presence that he can be. And so, you're not going to be overly impressed that Lamar Jackson, you know, failed to look off a safety and threw a lollipop down the field right to Taylor Rapp, or that he fumbled the ball and nobody knocked it out. But I think it's a consequence of what the Bills did to put the ball more into Lamar's hands. And every elimination game looks the same for Lamar Jackson. Mistakes, mistakes, mistakes. The Bills invited him to do it, and he did. And I think that's a consequence of exactly how the Bills chose to play the game, in addition to really good job of varying their pressure looks. I mean, the Bills blitzed a ton and had a bunch of five-man pressures that were very effective, and then they also did the exact opposite, where they'd rush three, they'd have a spy, and really allow Lamar at times to have that comfort to move around and make throws, but then there are other times where he was absolutely heated up by this Bills defense, and I think that variance maybe invited some of those mistakes. So, yeah, they look like unforced errors, but there's a lot of deposits that go into those opportunities for those mistakes to happen.
So with that in mind, you know, you mentioned, like, structurally changing the defense. Is this back to, on some level, the Bills' comfort zone? Now they go back to what they like to do, which is invite the run? Because Kansas City, I mean, their offense this year, they've got some explosive players. But the run game, they do not get explosive plays, which is exactly what Baltimore does do. So is it back to basics kind of for the Bills?
Yeah, it's interesting because the Bills have been so successful defending Patrick Mahomes in this offense during the regular season, and it's just not the same thing in the postseason. And so, I mean, you got to probably look at that operationally and figure out, okay, what are these big differences? That's probably a lot of that's health. You know, if we're just being honest, we know the players the Bills haven't had in the postseason against Kansas City. But I do think that, you know, when you look at this most recent performance that the Bills had against Patrick Mahomes, which I think was probably their best defensive performance, was they did such a good job of using their five-man pressures and really compressing the pocket around Mahomes and taking away that ability for him to really be creative as an off-script playmaker. And Mahomes held onto the ball a ton. It was one of the largest time-to-throws that you'll ever see from Patrick Mahomes at a game against Buffalo. There just wasn't a whole lot of room for him to operate the way that he likes to. And so I thought the Bills did a good job of kind of taking the air out of the pocket and compressing things around Mahomes. And, you know, he didn't have the same opportunities to get the ball out. And so I wonder if they do kind of tap into some of their base personnel, or, you know, if they continue to play some more man coverage. They played 30% man last time. against Kansas City. So they got to look at what they did, find out what they'd be successful with. And certainly Andy Reid and company knows those principles and will have their own counters. So I thought round one went to the Bills coaching staff, and it's going to be even tougher to win round two.
We were just going through this on Twitter a little bit, Joe. The Bills' run game in that previous meeting in the regular season, and it was one of their worst days of the year for the running backs especially. Allen got there, you know, with the scramble at the end. But they were missing Spencer Brown. They were missing Alec Anderson. So they converted a lot of third and longs. And I guess it is good to still know in your back pocket, like if you have a game like that, Josh Allen is so good that you could still win it. But how confident are you that the Bills' run game will look different than it did in November?
Yeah, highly confident. And Spencer Brown is such an engine for this rushing offense. I mean, his performance against Baltimore was just so phenomenal as a run blocker. I mean, if you rewatch the Bills game against the Ravens, just watch 79. He is just blasting open holes, blocking multiple people on a lot of different snaps, and a lot of those runs went to the right, and Spencer Brown was just making space, and you know, he didn't play against Kansas City, and I thought Ryan Vandermark, who's the Bills' fourth tackle, did a decent job, but he's not Spencer Brown. And you know, Alec Anderson only played 8 snaps in that game, and wound up being the lowest percentage of snaps he's played all season long, and I think a lot of that was maybe some concern with being down Spencer Brown, that you kind of need your super sub to be available if necessary along that offensive line, so you kind of maybe take away from some of what he brings. But, I mean, everybody knows that this Bills offensive rushing success is largely due to that incorporation of that utility blocker. And usually, you know, Anderson plays 20-25% of snaps. So Spencer Brown plus more of the utility tight end, I think, opens up a lot for this Bills rushing offense, plus the increased appetite to run Josh Allen in the postseason. I do think you're going to see a really different Bills rushing offense in this matchup compared to last.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. I don't often ask you this kind of question, Joe, but whatever. It's the AFC Championship game. Confidence level? We don't ask you to make picks, but I mean, it's a big one. Like, just how do you feel?
Surprisingly good. I mean, obviously, there's just the whole dynamic of Mahomes in the postseason, right? He doesn't lose very often, and it's at their place, and you certainly are mindful of all of that. But I do think that the Bills present a lot of challenges to Kansas City. It doesn't feel like Kansas City's played good football all season long. They get these boa constrictor type wins and get out of there and escape, and they just keep doing it. And obviously the Bills are the one team that could disrupt their formula, but you got to do it again in the postseason. You got to beat Patrick Mahomes twice in a season. All of that's difficult. And so, yeah, I think if you just look at the game for what it is, I think there's a lot to be confident in with the Bills. But then when you bring up the circumstances, that's where the nerves kick in, and you know, you start to find a little bit of doubt.
Yeah. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. We talk every Wednesday. All right. I'm just going to say, like, we hope we do a Super Bowl preview next week, you know?
What do we do for 2 weeks ready for a Super Bowl?
I don't know. I have no idea, but I'm ready to find out, Joe, you know?
Right. Me too.
All right. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, as we welcome him every Wednesday at this time. Thanks, Joe.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Subscribe to the Bills Locked On Bills podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. I mean, whether I mentioned it with him, Joe. On Sunday and Monday, it was, what's the deal with the third quarter? And then, you know, he went back and watched some of it and broke it down. Like, okay, you know, I get it. It happens. 803-0550. We'll get caught up on a phone call. We have Carrington Harrison, who talks Chiefs. He'll join us at the top of the hour to talk about Kansas City's road to this spot. We've been unimpressed by them. Are they peaking right now as they host a 7th consecutive AFC Championship game? Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring. 803-0550 on WGR.